Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch bonnie plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting night of NBA basketball.
With the first pick, the Detroit Pistons select Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State University.
Chandler again. Oh, what a block by Max Seal! My goodness!
The Pistons are digging in. They got the depth. They got the big man. They got the better basketball team. No doubt about it.
There's Jaden playing the passing lane. Sky's a jam. Dynamite dunk, and the crowd loves it.
Pistons need a three, and they have just under 3 seconds to do it. Here's Chauncey Phillips. Here it is.
Pistons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, part of the Bleav Network. I'm your host, Mike King Milano. Joining me this week, it's the original crew, the OG crew, except there's no Noah, I guess. We kind of forgot about Noah from like 7 years ago, but it is, of course, Aaron Johnson. Aaron, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Mike. It's the start of the baseball season, which is a lot of fun. We are into the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight portion of the March Madness tournament, which has been awesome to take us through this back end of March, where the Pistons have just been such a terrible team to watch. I'll be honest with you, I've not watched all of their games recently. I did watch the Minnesota game. I know we're going to talk about it. But with all of the guys that Detroit has shut down, have been resting, are out with injuries, it's just made this team very, very difficult to watch over the last week or so. And obviously, they've been a tough watch pretty much all season long. But when they've got their top eight guys in and out of the lineup on a nightly basis, and you're watching three G League guys, a couple guys that showed up to the team at various points throughout the season that are end of bench guys, fringe NBA players, there are just better things to do with your time. I'll put it that way.
I'm sure Jasper was happy to see Buddy Boeheim go nuts, though.
Big moment for Jasper. So much so that he couldn't be here this week.
Right. He was too overwhelmed to be here. Yes, Aaron, this is the best, arguably the best sports time of the year because the Masters is also coming up. So between baseball, NBA playoffs, March Madness finishing up, and then the Masters is just like the quadfecta of good sports all happening at the same time. However, the Pistons have not been particularly good to watch, but that's why we're here, to sort of provide that level of analysis so that you all don't have to watch Cade Cunningham play with second-round picks, first-round picks, fringe NBA players, play very well, and then come up short. And in lieu of watching the Pistons, we encourage you all to sign up for our Substack. You can subscribe in the description of this episode and all the past episodes as well as in the show description for this episode on YouTube. It will be there. We encourage you all to sign up. We were talking about this pre-show, but we are going to have to start to think about how we want to talk about prospects for the Pistons. And we talked a little bit about, do the Pistons trade the pick no matter what, even if it's the first overall selection, to get themselves a player who can come in and contribute right away and really provide some assistance to Cade and some of the other players who are playing well. We were also talking a little bit about Jalen Green and how he's getting a lot of love for playing better. No coincidence, he's also got NBA level talent around him, like Fred VanVleet. We talked about Evan Mobley. The Pistons got to do something. Do they trade the pick? Do they take it? We'll be writing about it. We'll be talking about it. And all of that will always be available on our Substack. So we encourage you all to sign up. And before we get into the Wolves Pistons game, in which the Pistons lost 106-91, we would like to thank our sponsor of this week's episode, and that is Bet Online. And the tournament, the NCAA tournament, that is here. Sweet 16 basketball tonight. Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for the season, with the best bracket contest out there. All the odds, lines, and info on every game, on every round, right up until the national championship. I don't know about you, Aaron, but Kentucky really screwed me. I pretty much burned my bracket down after that. I had them going to the Elite Eight, and I should have known better. Between them losing to Oakland and losing to St. Peter's 2 years ago, I should just know that kids and young players, freshmen in the NCAA tournament, have a tendency to just kind of lose themselves a little bit. So hopefully you're not like me and basically out of all of your brackets. But if you use BetOnline, you can access the most up to the minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile device. You can even track your bracket in real time all the way through the tournament. Head on over to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use BetOnline. Again, that's BLEAV for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Aaron, how are those brackets doing?
Well, first off, shout out to Oakland. Shout out to Oakland University. No, we've got a lot
of Horizon League
crossover between our listeners and OU. So shout out to them for getting the job done against Kentucky. What's really unfortunate here is I think that they very much should have won that game against NC State. It really felt like that was a game set up for them to win. But shout out to them for beating Kentucky, because that was really, really fun, really awesome. As I've talked about with Jasper, I'm not sure you were here when we talked about it. It went back to when we were talking about the conference tournaments. I'm riding with Tennessee. I don't have them winning. Let me clarify that, but I have them making a deep run in like pretty much all of my brackets. And we've talked about the mistake of betting on Rick Barnes. I'm backing Rick Barnes-led teams. But we're rolling with that right now. All of my Final Four teams are still alive. UNC, UConn, Houston, and Creighton, I believe it is. I think. I can't even remember at this point. Also, admittedly, I am one of those guys that fills out multiple brackets. So, but we're doing okay. We're doing okay. We've had some heartbreakers, but the teams that need to still be playing at the end of it are still playing. So we're good there.
Were you a little nervous when Houston was playing, I think, Texas A&M, and it was an overtime?
Yeah, I was like watching Houston. Okay, they're up, you know, 6-7 points. This should be fine. All of a sudden, they're going to overtime. But luckily, they pulled it off. That was that was one of those, I'm going to bed. I get into, I'm about to like shut the phone off for the night. See, it's headed to overtime, and it's like, I guess I'm pulling this up on my phone and watching overtime up instead of going to bed.
It was a good game. There have been a lot of really good games. Colorado and Texas was a good what's this? Maybe it was Colorado State. I forget. It was like 100-99 or something, which is insane for a college basketball
game. Colorado, Florida,
that's it. Yeah. Game. Colorado and Florida. Crazy game. Yale and Auburn, I was watching that back and forth like crazy. And it's weird because I was watching CBS Sports Bracketology to prepare for my bracket, because I didn't watch Yale because I'm not that much of a basketball sicko, apparently. So I watch Ivy Leagues, but people were like crapping on whoever was for CBS Sports. I think it was Matt Norlander about Auburn losing to Yale, which he predicted. And guess what? It happened. So you just never know, which is why it's madness. What's also madness is the Pistons' decision-making with some of their young guys and some of their lineups. They were in this game with the Timberwolves until about the third quarter. They ended up losing 106-91. Cade Cunningham had 32 points in 28 minutes. Jalen Duren had 11 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists in 25 minutes. James Wiseman had 20 minutes himself. Jaden Ivey did not play due to what I believe they described as a sore knee. But the real problem was that once Cunningham and Duren sat and the all-bench lineup played, the same thing happened every time the all-bench lineup plays, is that they get spit-roasted. And the Wolves didn't even play well. Anthony Edwards had 9 points. I think Rudy Gobert may have had like a fringe double-double, like 11 and 14 or something. Naz Reid killed them. And of course, Karl Anthony Towns didn't play. So have some things to unpack here. First off, any thoughts on the game, particularly when the all-bench lineup once again entered? And they're so just crushed with injuries. I mean, and the all-bench lineup is kind of easy to get to because they're already all-bench.
Yeah, I mean, the all-bench lineup they're using right now, last night it was Malachi Flynn, Evan Fournier, Troy Brown, and then it was either Tosin Iwuoma out there with the bench unit, and to be fair, Tosin did start, or it was Mateu and then James Wiseman. And like, to be fair, I wouldn't say you're wrong if you say all five of those guys should not be in the NBA next year. Like, I think James Wiseman's going to be back with the Pistons. I think he's going to be back in the NBA. Seems like the Pistons have this idea that he's going to be a part of their rotation moving forward. But outside of that, no one that Detroit's bringing off the bench right now is probably an NBA player next season. And so when you're taking that group out there and you're putting them all out there together against rotation NBA players, starting level players in the NBA, like, it's not a surprise what happens. And that is what is so unfortunate. Not that Detroit needs to win these games, but because they're at this point in the season where they have a couple guys injured, they've essentially shut down a few other guys for the year, and they're picking and choosing spots to sit starters. You know, Jaden Ivey didn't play last night. Cade had missed a handful of games. Jalen Duren had just missed a handful of games. You haven't seen Simone Fontecchio in well over a week. Quentin Grimes has only played a handful of games since getting dealt to Detroit. And so even though none of these games really matter in terms of the wins-loss record, they're essentially throwing these games away, and they're not able to make any real judgments on this team or learn anything about this team over these last 3 weeks to a month of the season because they have so many guys out. And so last night, in a game where Cade Cunningham, with one of the best defenders in the league and Jaden McDaniels draped all over him, plays incredibly well, incredibly efficient, and scores 32 points in 28 minutes, it doesn't really matter because he's out there with, outside of Jalen Duren and Marcus Sasser, a bunch of G League level players, veterans on the back end of their career, and guys that just do not belong in the NBA. So as a person watching the games, it sucks. And as these guys that do matter for this organization long-term, Cade Cunningham, Jalen Duren, it really sucks. I mean, if you're Cade Cunningham and you're playing as well as he did against Minnesota, and he's got to come out of the game in the third quarter, he comes out of the game, it's a two-point game against the best team in the league, the best defensive team in the league, one of the best record-wise teams in the league. And he doesn't get to come back in until there's 6-7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, which, by the way, was just another bad decision by Monty Williams. He goes out of the game. It's a two-point game. He comes back into the game. It's a 16-point game. How dejecting is that for him, night in and night out? How dejecting is it for Cade Cunningham to see Jalen Green with competent players around him, even though he's had a bumpy season, is now playing the best basketball of his career and helping Houston fight for a playoff spot? Evan Mobley playing
meaningful basketball.
Evan Fournier is going back to the playoffs. it hasn't worked out this year for Scotty Barnes and the Raptors in terms of a record. Scotty Barnes has played
Mobley, I think,
previous experience in the playoffs. All of these guys that were drafted around him are having success, and he's stuck in the same situation that he was in year one, now here in year three. Really frustrating. Last night just felt like a slap in the face in terms of you have this high-level player, but in three, four years, this leadership has not been able to put enough winning players around the core to be a competitive team.
So how many of these guys, you already mentioned who played, Metu, Sasser, Troy Brown, Tosin, Duren, Wiseman, Flynn, and Fournier, how many of those guys are on the roster next year?
Did you say Wiseman?
I did, yeah.
You said what? Okay, I think he's the only one that should be. I'm sorry, did you say Sasser? I didn't hear you for a second. Sasser and Wiseman should be. Anyone else should not be. It's really that simple. Out of the guys,
Sasser and Wiseman. Minnesota, so you don't want Jalen Duren.
So I misheard you. Let's go by this because it's really simple. Outside of
let's go the other way.
Jalen Duren, Marcus Sasser, and I'll throw in James Wiseman just because there's no way he's not on the team next year. Outside of those four guys, I'm not sure you can make a case for anyone else to be on this team that played last night against Minnesota. You're going to tell me Buddy Boeheim needs to be back with the Pistons next year. You're going to tell me Tosin Ioana needs to be back with the Pistons next year. Malachi Flynn, Evan Fournier, who, if I were Detroit, I get they've got nine guys that they're able to play on the active roster. I'd play 4-on-5 rather than having Evan Fournier out there, with all due respect. I mean, he is just a disaster out there. When he has the ball in his hands and is essentially initiating as a point guard, they are just the most wasted possessions ever, because it's either a turnover where he dribbles it off his foot, his leg, or the other team, or he ends up needing a screen late in the shot clock, and it's one dribble off a screen and to a pull-up three that clanks off the back of the rim. I just don't know why he's out there and why he has the green light that he has. And you could say that a lot of these guys out there, there's no one that doesn't have the green light on this team. And that's a whole other problem in and of itself when you're talking about guys that are coming up from the G League or signed 10-day contracts or signed contracts throughout the remainder of the season or came over from teams where they weren't playing at all and they come to Detroit and are playing like they're on a max contract, the level of freedom they have to take over possessions and launch shots and not get back on defense and not crash the glass. I mean, it's a joke, and it continues game in and game out. And you sit here and wonder how the hell the Pistons are in the same spot in year four of Troy Weaver as they were in year one.
Right. So given that, and the Frankenstein roster that they've had to slap together, and Ivy didn't play, which matters at least a little bit, because, and this was asked on Twitter, this is Laz Jackson, when you talk about Ivy and Cade, do the Pistons have enough information on them, period? Not even are they, you know, do they work? Let's forget that. Do they have enough time with those two on the court to even make any justification at all, whether it be good or bad?
It's tough. It's tough, and that's why I don't know why you're getting random rest nights from these guys at this point in the year. You know, if it's
right,
2-3 games left in the season like it used to be, or the last game of the season like it used to be, where the, you know, guys would sit, that'd be one thing. But, you know, with 10-12 games left in the year, and you're, you know, essentially sitting guys, they have these random injuries that pop up out of nowhere and they're on the injury report all of a sudden. Like, let's not act like it's not a very common practice throughout the NBA. But when you're a team that still needs to figure things out and really needs all of the data, all of the film possible to make these types of major decisions that your franchise needs to be making, because you're coming off of another historically bad year after just having an historically bad year. You need all of the reference points possible. And it's tough because I don't think Cade and Jaden Ivey have played long enough to where you can comfortably say one way or the other, these guys work together, these guys don't work together. You go back to the start of the season when Killian Hayes, who is out of the league now, was starting and playing 30 minutes a night ahead of Jaden Ivey and Monty Williams' rotation. Then Jaden Ivey, by the grace of the powers above, it takes way too long for the Pistons to realize it. But Jaden Ivey finally gets into the starting lineup, and the returns look good. Then Cade misses about 2 weeks or so with a knee issue. Jaden Ivey comes back. Results are still relatively good. Then you get to the All-Star break. And since the All-Star break, Jaden Ivey's been a borderline non-NBA level player. The shooting has fallen off a cliff, both inside and outside. The turnovers are up. And he's just not playing at the level that we saw him play at pre-All-Star break. And that's what is concerning. And that's why I don't know why we're not seeing him and Cade Cunningham on the court as much as possible. Because the Pistons do have a very serious offseason coming up ahead of them. There have to be considerable changes made to this team if they are going to be better. If you think they can run back this roster next year and just say, hey, they'll be older, they'll have played together more, they'll have developed a little bit, we'll be fine, you're naive. They have to make some very serious changes. And if we're being realistic, if we're being honest, some of those changes need to be talked about around what core guys can remain, what core guys need to be moved. And I think when you're talking about core guys, Jaden Ivey is a guy that you need to have that conversation about. I don't think anyone is safer than Cade Cunningham. I think Cade's shown he is worth building around. And in the worst case scenario, he's not a number one option, but he is a high level number two guy, and you still need to find a number one guy. But Jaden Ivey has not proven to be a consistent enough number one, number two, or even number three guy yet. So you have to have these conversations that you don't really have enough to look back at and say, these guys were good enough together, these guys weren't good enough together. Because you look at one half of the season and the numbers were really good. You look at the other and the numbers were really bad. So over these last 8-10 games, whatever it is at this point, I really hope that Cunningham and Ivey have more opportunities to play together. But at the same time, with all of these other guys that are rotation players out and them having to play alongside these G League level players, that doesn't really help you get data worth looking at, because there's other outlying factors really affecting how well they're going to be able to play together. Because instead of playing alongside Asar Thompson, Simone Fontecchio, and Isaiah Stewart, they're playing alongside Evan Fournier, Tosani Iwoma, and James Wiseman.
Saving money on your next project with help from Menards. Move water where you need it quickly with a Barracuda sump pump. Sump pumps keep your basement dry when big storms hit unexpectedly. Get a half horsepower cast iron Barracuda sump pump on sale now through May 5th. Hurry into Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So I kind of inadvertently pushed us towards the second topic, but I think they are linked, because we are approaching the point of the season where are these guys just going to rest? So I want to talk about Jaden Ivey, because you mentioned All-Star break. So I went into cleaning the glass, and in the 18 games since the All-Star break, Ivey is averaging 30 minutes a game, 15 points, 2.7 rebounds, just under 4 assists on 38% shooting from the floor, 25% shooting from three. His points per shot attempt are, I mean, he's quite low. Let's just say he's probably in like the 30th percentile for guards. His assist rate is middle of the road for guards and at like probably the 45th to 50th percentile. But 38% shooting from the floor, 25% from three. I mean, that's kind of the profile of what he was in college, or what he profiled as coming out of the draft, was a guy that had a troubling shot, but a lot of speed, and had an acrobatic ability to finish around the rim. How many games the rest of the way do we think? And I know I'm jumping around our topic list, but we're kind of good. You know, they just kind of cascade into one another. How many more games are the Pistons reasonably going to have with Ivy, Duren, and Cade playing together again?
How many can you confidently say? These guys have all sat out for one reason or another. And this is a team that has historically, been very conservative at the end of the year with playing rotation players, with playing starters. It's been happening for a while in the NBA. The Pistons, it really took it to a whole nother level last year, but it even goes back to, you know, when Jeremy Grant was on the team in his first and second year. Like, he got shut down at the end of the seasons. And, you know, I'd like to say these guys are going to finish out the year together, but I can't confidently say that. I think they're going to continue to be very conservative with everyone. And even if they do play together, how much will it matter? Because like I said, the guys they're going to be playing with are going to be so bad. They're going to make it so difficult for Cunningham and Ivy to coexist. I mean, at some point, you know, role players are incredibly important. And when you're putting them out there with guys that are not going to help them, that can't space the floor, you know, that are just guys, it makes it harder for them to really evaluate, okay, Cade and Ivy can coexist. We have enough spacing if we go with Fontecchio and Stewart and Duren, like they can make it work. Both of them can get turns running in the pick and roll with Jalen Duren. Like, we only got to see 6 games post All-Star break of Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, Ausar Thompson, Isaiah Stewart, and Jalen Duren. And we only got 10 games of Cunningham, Ivey, Fontecchio, Stewart, and Duren. Really the two starting lineups, I think, that you would look at if you're the Pistons. And you know, you're not going to get to see that group. You're not going to get to see 3 of those guys the rest of the way, unless Fontecchio's coming back. But he's been out for over a week now, and there's really been no update as to when he's going to be back. How many more games do you feel Jalen Duren's going to play? How many more games do you think Cade Cunningham's going to play? I mean, he has been on the injury report really for the past few weeks at pretty much every game at this point, even if he's been questionable or upgraded up probable or whatever, and he's ended up playing. Like, he's been on the injury report. The Pistons have planted the seed that they're going to be conservative with his left knee. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I think these guys are all going to play these last, you know, 8 games or whatever it is. Like, I don't think they will. I think they're all going to sit out, and I don't think they're going to all finish the year together.
I don't either. Like you said, because Cade has been on the injured list on and off, and he was a real late scratch. I forget who they were playing against. He was like scratched an hour and a half before start. And I wouldn't be surprised to see stuff like that crop up a little bit more. So no, I agree. I don't think that they're going to be playing together a whole lot more this season, even though they should be as much as possible. Not that I think you can glean a whole lot from late season action like this with so many guys hurt, but I think the Cunningham Ivy thing, there's just not enough information still, you know. And it's really disappointing because Cade has maintained a semblance of health. I mean, guys are always hurt this time of year. Very rarely are starting lineups for any team going to be fully intact by March, for anybody, whether you're the Boston Celtics who've been without Jrue Holiday for a while, you know, whether you're the Cavs who've had like the fifth most lost minutes to injury for starters in the league, to Minnesota's out, you know, without Cat. It's very rare that you're going to have a fully healthy starting lineup this time of year anyway. But even so, I just can't see the Pistons overexerting Cade, knowing that he's gonna, you know, he's a part of the team next year. Fontecchio and Grimes, you know, I don't think we've mentioned Quentin Grimes yet, and that was your quote unquote prize of the Bojan Bogdanovic trade, and that knee is, you know, certainly concerning. So
Grimes has played
it's kind of.
this year. Grimes has played six games since being traded to the Pistons. How is that not incredibly concerning? He came to the team injured, played a handful of games, re-injured it, came back, and then immediately was back out again. Like, that is incredibly concerning. And that was your key return in the Bogdanovich Burks trade.
Right. And by the way, Burks and Bogdanovich are not exactly playing a whole lot.
They're not, but they were.
Bogdanovich did not. What's that?
They're not, but they were for the Pistons, and that means something to the
Yes.
team that's now playing Evan Fournier and Malachi Flynn. Like, even if
Right.
both Bogdanovich and Burks haven't been great in New York, I would much rather watch them play than Evan Fournier and Malachi Flynn.
Oh yeah, undoubtedly. But this kind of gets us into like off-season building questions, and you know, in talking about the draft a little bit, the Pistons are gonna have a high pick again. They'll probably pick fifth again, knowing this luck, or knowing the Pistons' luck, they'll get the first pick in the draft the year after Victor Wembanyama, much like how my Cavs got the number one overall pick 3 out of 4 years, with the only year they didn't get it was Anthony Davis, which really is unfortunate. But anyway, many of the top prospects come up this year are guards, and this is a team that has drafted guard now 3 times, with Hayes and with Ivy and with Cade. Was Ausar counted as a two, or was he always a three?
Always a three,
He was
I
a three. He was three. Okay. But many of the top prospects are guards: Reed Sheppard, Rob Dillingham, who just blew it for me. And I think Reed Sheppard had one basket against Oakland. But you know, it's a very guard heavy top end of the draft. We talked about it before. They get a top five. Well, they're going to get a top five pick. If they get like a top three pick or the number one overall pick, are you know, should they be taking a guard? Should they be trading the pick? Should they be, you know, picking for best fit and just going off the board? What should be the strategy here in a guard heavy draft when you have a guard heavy history? And I mean, do you break up Ivy and Cade and then pick a better guard that fits, you know, more positively alongside Cade? I mean, what's the strategy here for the Pistons? Is Troy even making the pick?
Troy's making the pick. If
I think so too.
Troy Weaver was not going to be here, he would have been relieved of his duties post trade deadline or before it. He would have been let go, and he
What
hasn't.
was his extension?
That was last year, was it not?
It was, but it was very secretive.
We didn't get the details. We usually don't with general managers, to be fair. We usually don't get the contract details like we do a coach. But I at this point, whether you feel like he should be there or not, he's I would say it seems very likely he's going to be there, the same way Monty Williams is still going to be the coach of this team next year. And in my mind, I'm at a point where the Pistons should be desperate. The Pistons should feel a lot of pressure to get better. And one way to get better is to take some of your young players and your draft picks and consolidate them into a player that can help your team right now. Can they put together some package that doesn't include Cade Cunningham, but includes anyone else in your core and your draft picks that you have available? And can you get someone like a Brandon Ingram? Can you get someone else that is an all-star level or near all-star level player that is going to help your team right away? And can you get Trae Young? Can you get Brandon Ingram? Will there be a star player that maybe hasn't demanded a trade yet, but is going to ask out that you can somehow get your hands on? You know, do you circle back to DeJounte Murray? Is there a chance you can get Lauri Markkanen from Utah? Like, that's where my mind goes if I'm making the decision for the Detroit Pistons. How do we get a legitimate NBA player that we know can help us win? And if you can't do that, there's no one out there that wants the pick. If the pick doesn't have value, if no one wants to take on Jaden Ivey, which I don't think is the case, we obviously know Isaiah Stewart has trade value across the league at a first round pick level. Like, I think they could do something. I don't know how good of a player they could get for, let's throw out a theoretical package of Detroit's pick this year, Jaden Ivey and Isaiah Stewart. But I would be looking at it, at least at the very minimum, I'd be looking at what can we do for something like that. But if they do make the pick, I don't see how you can say take anything other than best player available. I don't know, like I said, outside of Cade, who has in your mind, and I think there will be people that would say this about Cade Cunningham as well, but who has really proven that they are necessary and have to be a part of this core, have to be a part of the next playoff iteration of the Detroit Pistons moving forward? I don't think you can say it for Jaden Ivey yet. I know Ausar Thompson plays really good defense and plays with a lot of energy and is, you know, his work ethic is very apparent, but you can't say it for him yet. I think Jalen Duren has been really, really disappointing on the defensive side of the ball this year, and he's too limited of a player on offense to just be a bad defensive player throughout his NBA career. He's just way too skilled. He's way too athletic. He's way too big to just be a bad defensive player. So I think you've got to pick for who's the best talent out there.
I think when talking about who's on the next playoff roster, other than Cade, if I had to rank them, it would be Ausar, Ivy, and Duren in that order. I think Ausar has got a role. I think his skill set allows him to have a role on the next playoff team, simply because of the defense and the athleticism. I think Ivy's ceiling is higher than Duren's. I think Duren's the most replaceable in terms of a center. I mean, shoot, Isaiah Hartenstein is like the pivotal center for the New York Knicks. That's not a high level, you know, defensive center. That's a guy that is a good connector as a big and you know, and does the things that a big should be doing in those capacities. He's not a Bam Adebayo, but he doesn't have to be a Bam Adebayo because the rest of the pieces around him work enough that he could scoop up rebounds, set good screens, and rim protect, at least to a degree that, you know, allows the Knicks to let those other defenders like Ananobi do their thing. So I don't necessarily think that you have to have a Jalen Duren, and that would make him last on my list after those other guys. But I think if a team comes calling about anybody except for Cade, you're gonna have to listen. You're gonna have to, even if it's Ausar Thompson. I think you have to listen.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. I mean, look, what gets really kooky is if, like, the San Antonio Spurs, who have all those picks and whatnot, and Victor Wembanyama, and clearly a need to get better quickly. If they come with all those picks and they come asking for Cade, they're like, we need a point guard. Here's Keldon Johnson and as many picks as we could put in here and other players to match. Are you going to give up Cade? That's where I think stuff gets really interesting, because that's when you could really hit the full reset button. And that's kind of what this team feels like. It feels like they're trying to stick stuff around Cade that's obviously not working. And all it's doing is dragging the rest of the roster down. That's the really interesting, like, ooh, the Spurs could actually kind of do that. And they're desperate enough to pair a young point guard, Wembanyama, that I don't think the Pistons would entertain that, but they have the picks and some of those ancillary pieces that, you know, they might just hit a total reset button. And then, you know, you're looking at something a lot more drastic, but they have to listen if anybody comes calling about any player except for Cade. And that's really a weird desperation position to be in, because that also doesn't allow you to make a good move if all the other GMs are looking at you like nervously sweating and having your finger just over that big red button, because then you're going to get just junk offers for some of these guys. Like, there was a rumor during trade season about DeJounte Murray. And what would the Pistons have to give up to get DeJounte Murray? And it was junk offers for Murray. And there was a perception that the Hawks were really desperate to build around Jalen Johnson and Trey, and they were getting junk offers. Like, the Pistons probably wouldn't even have had to give up any of their core guys for DeJounte Murray. So it puts them in a bad position if they look super desperate, but I think they have to be open to moving any of those guys. But Cade, I also don't want Troy to be the guy to be making this potentially franchise altering trade, but I think you're right. He's going to be still there in the front office, whether we agree with it or not. And we all don't agree with it, but he's going to be the guy making that next move.
Let me say this on Troy, because I think it needs a little more context. And maybe there's a world where Troy isn't the GM come this summer, come the offseason. But I have to imagine, after everything that transpired earlier this year between Tom Gore's coming out and speaking to the public, him telling us about the internal meetings that him, Gore's, Monty Williams, and other members of the organization had to have, I'd have to believe that there's been some shift in where they want to go, how they want to do things. And I can't imagine if they were going to have those discussions with Troy and have those high-level meetings and let him stay around past those meetings and through the trade deadline and make the trades that he made, I just can't imagine that they then get to the end of April and say, okay, yeah, now we're going to move on from Troy. Now it's been too bad. Now there's been too many issues. There's been too many mistakes. Now we're going to move on. Like, they've had those meetings. They've had those discussions. Tom Gorsuch has publicly come out and backed Troy Weaver and said he's the guy that's going to put us on the right path. So I just can't imagine they get to April 30th and say, okay, we're moving on from Troy Weaver and we're bringing in a new GM now in a, you know, very, very pivotal offseason.
Te presentamos a Alex. Ella acaba de descubrir el centro de visión de Walmart.
Ahora hago mis diligencias en un solo lugar.
¿Compras? ¿Lentes?
Walmart.
¿Decoraciones?
Walmart. Y lo mejor es que aceptan la mayoría de seguros, así que ahorro tiempo y dinero.
Bienvenido a un cuidado de visión más fácil. Bienvenido a tu Walmart. Se aplican restricciones. Visita walmart.com para más detalles.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I think so too. And the thing with young teams is that continuity is so pivotal. and having constant turnover, even at the front office level, isn't a very good look. It's actually one of the things that I kind of admired about the Pistons sticking with Dwayne Casey as long as they did, instead of jumping ship too early, is that when young players are in environments where there's constant turnover, it's not good for their development at all. Not at all. I mean, Colin Sexton, for, again, to use a Cavs reference, had like four different coaches in his first 2 years, 2.5 years with the team. He had Ty Lue for like 6 or 7 games and Larry Drew. And he had John Beilein, which was a disaster. And then he had J.B. Bickerstaff. I mean, that's just not conducive to development. Same goes for the front office. If there's constant turmoil, it just doesn't set a stable ground. Not that that's been provided already, but they stick with Troy, and he's the guy that makes the next move. It does scare me a little bit that it's a potentially franchise-altering move. I mean, if they get the first pick in the draft, is your first inclination to move off that pick?
In my mind, yes. In the Pistons' mind, I don't know what it'll be. But in my mind, yes, I'd be saying, okay, what can I get for this? What team's trying to reset a little bit? What team is looking to shake things up? Is there, you know, a decent player on a team that wants to move up and we can get their pick back and this decent player that's going to help us and we can move from maybe picking one to getting a good player and, you know, the 10th pick in the draft or something like that?
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat of I would be trade first if I was the Pistons. And I think you're right. I don't think they are going to be trade first. I think they're going to be, let's see who we can draft first. So interesting stuff. But that pairing of Cade and Ivy, I hope that's not the end of it, because I still don't think we have enough information to decide if that is the backcourt of the future. But I think they might just be out of time. Like, for better or worse, they may just be out of time and they may have to make a decision sooner rather than later if they're going to stick with it, whether they have that you know, information or not. Aaron, we clawed through all of our topics for today's show. Do you have anything else you want to touch on?
No, look, I mean, there's 9 games left in the season. The things that are going to keep me watching this team are will Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren get to play still? Are you going to see Simone Fontecchio back this year? Is there an outside chance that Quentin Grimes gets brought back this year? You know, I feel like with the Pistons going out and shutting down and Ausar Thompson, who's already back to doing some conditioning stuff, by the way, but they've shut him down for the year in terms of playing games. They've already shut down Isaiah Stewart, shut down Stanley Amude. You know, I think if that was the case with Grimes, that they would have maybe already come out and do it when they did it for those guys. So there might still be a chance that we've seen Grimes play this year again, which I think is would be good. You know, it gives you a reason to watch, because it's concerning that he's only played 6 games. I mean, he has played less games this year as a member of the Detroit Pistons than Tosin Iwoma. I mean, Tosin's played 9 games this year for Detroit. Matu's about to tie Grimes in terms of games played with the Pistons this year. Danilo Gallinari and Monte Morris have played as many games as Quentin Grimes has this year with the Pistons. So we need to see Grimes out there. And it's concerning that he's not been out there. But can they get a few of these guys back? Can we get one final look at a Pistons group that contains guys that should be back with this team next year, or guys that will at least be in the NBA next year, because they're playing 5, 6, 7, 8 guys right now that are very likely not NBA players at the start of next season. So that is what I will be watching for over these last 9 games. I will be looking forward to the offseason content at this point. It is unfortunately the same song and dance that we get to at this point in the year with the Pistons, where they are so far out of the playoff race, they're eliminated already, they're shutting guys down for the season, that there's so few things to talk about with them. at this point in the year, outside of what can this team do in the offseason? How can they change and try to look better next year?
So during this episode, the injury report came out for tomorrow or today for those listeners for against Washington. Cade is questionable, as he has been for a while. Fontecchio is out, Grimes is out, and Jaden Ivey is questionable as well.
Yeah, I mean, so this is what you expect at this point in the year. This is how the Pistons have operated. They shut guys down, they hold guys out. That's what I expect. And so, you know, when you get to these games and it's Marcus Sasser and Evan Fournier and Tosin Ijeoma and James Wiseman, and it's like, what's the point in watching? Like, you have to be a real sicko to sit down and watch that game in one sitting for 2.5 hours. Like, you want to follow along on Twitter? You want to watch the first quarter until they go down by 15 points? Like, that's one thing, but you've just got to be a real sicko to tune into this team when they're just holding guys out and not giving you anything to watch for.
And they're playing Washington. I mean, that's like ultimate sicko hours.
They'd like to lose.
Washington has,
to be fair, they'd like to lose that game. They want to have the best position
right
for the number one pick, obviously. They want to lose tomorrow. And the thing is, the sad thing.
Well, the Wizards are 14-59.
The sad thing is they could play Cunningham and Ivy tomorrow, and they could still very much lose the game. Let's not act like
playing. Oh, yeah.
Has made an impact in the win-loss record this year. It unfortunately hasn't.
Jordan Poole, Kyle Kuzma, Denny Avdia, Corey Kispert. I mean, I could see it, unfortunately. And that makes me sad. But yeah, off-season content, draft content, and plenty more. We're going to have plenty more episodes as well as we wind down the 2023-2024 NBA season. I can't believe we're already nearing the finish line.
It feels like we just started.
I know, it really does. Do you have any other plugs you want to inject here before we end the show?
Nope. Need people to subscribe to the Palace of Pistons Substack at palaceofpistons.com. It'll be in the episode description wherever you're listening or watching the show. Need you to go over there, toss in your email address, and subscribe to the newsletter. When we post content, it'll go directly to your inbox, so you don't have to go anywhere else but your email to read our work. Wherever you're listening to the show from or watching the show from, YouTube, Apple Podcast, Spotify. We need you to subscribe, follow the show, leave us a like on the video or the podcast, leave us a review. All of that stuff is going to tremendously help us. So if you like how we talk about the Pistons, if you want to continue to support us and make it possible for us to continue to do this work, really, really need your support on that end. It's free. It takes 30 seconds to a minute, and we really, really do appreciate it.
Well said. Couldn't say it better myself from our fearless leader who started it all. Okay. Well, Aaron, I'm going to be watching the Pistons play the Wizards as much as it pains me to do so, along with my Cleveland Cavaliers potentially getting Donovan Mitchell back. Or if they don't get him back and they inevitably break my heart against the Sixers, I'll be able to watch that too. And then some Sweet 16 basketball as well. And hey, the Women's Final Four coming to Cleveland. Let's see if Caitlin Clark can inject a little bit of juice into the city on top of our the solar eclipse coming.
Do you know if there's a pathway to getting Iowa versus UConn? Because that would be a fun game for, I think. Caitlin Clark I think would be really, really fun.
Yeah. Well, I could tell you that's really what city is hoping for.
I'm sure. And admittedly, I don't really watch a ton of NCAA women's basketball. It's just not something that I've had a real opportunity to get into. But I have watched a few Iowa games this year, and I see the highlights from Paige Becker that get shared on social media. I just think that would be a really, really good game.
Why can I not find UConn? Am I crazy? Oh, yes, I am. Yeah, they are on the same side of the bracket.
Okay. Okay.
They're on the same side of the bracket.
Be better than watching the Pistons and Wizards, I think.
I think that that's probably correct. But Duke and UConn play, looks like they play the 30th. But yeah, they are on the same side. So technically you could get Iowa and UConn in the final four if UConn wins the Portland section. They would have to beat Duke. They have to beat USC.
Okay. The Sweet 16 and Elite Eight are here at LCA this year. So I know we'll have some people that I'm sure are listening to the show heading down to LCA for that this weekend. So all of our listeners doing that, I wish I was joining you. There was a really large part of me that wanted to get down there for the Tennessee game. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it, but have a lot of fun. Be safe. And it'll be a lot of fun at LCA. That's going to be the best basketball play there all year. That's for sure.
It would be the bar is the floor, but you know, hopefully next year something a little bit better. We'll be keeping track of all of the moves this off season. Even though we're ready for the season to be over, I'm still gonna be sad when the season is actually over and there's no more Pistons basketball. That will still be tough, even though they are abhorrent to watch and they make dumb decisions. I will still be upset when there is no basketball. But even if there's no basketball being played, we're still going to get to talk about it each week. And you know, I can look forward to that as well. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast. I'd like to thank Aaron for once again being fearless leader and joining me for this episode. I'd like to thank our sponsor this week, and that is BetOnline. And if you haven't used BetOnline, be sure to use our promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, for your welcome bonus, 50% welcome bonus, rather, on your first deposit when you use BetOnline. Again, for my co-host Aaron Johnson, I am Mike Anguilano. Thank you so much for joining us on this week's edition of the Palace Pistons podcast, part of the BELIEVE Network, and we will see you all next time.
Te presentamos a Daniela. A ella nada le sorprende.
Siempre estoy lista para lo que venga.
Por eso,
este año fui a Walmart a comprar todo para combatir mis alergias antes que comience la temporada de alergias.
Claro, porque Walmart tiene
productos de alta calidad para las alergias como descongestionantes, sprays nasales, antihistamínicos y más, y a precios muy buenos.
¿Y sabías que también tiene pickup y delivery? Daniela, ¿te sorprendiste?
¿Yo? No, ¿qué va? Claro que sabía que Walmart tiene pickup y delivery.
Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.